From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Monday, the 12th day of May, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. Coming up, we'll talk about the report numbers with Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net and the impact they had in Chicago. We'll hear more in depth about those figures with Joe Jansen, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. Mark Russo will be here to take a look at the weather forecast from Everstream Analytics, and I'll bring you up to speed on some agricultural news for the day as well on this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. USDA's WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Report, showed old crop corn ending stocks were down 50 million bushels this month from 1.465 to 1.415. Soybeans off 30 million bushels from 380 million to 350 million. The new crop estimate for the first time around at 1.8 billion bushels for the carryout, for corn and soybeans at 295 million bushels.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day, a penny and three quarters lower. It settled at $4.48. September at $4.32 and three quarters, up 3.5. December at $4.45 and a half for Monday, 3.5 cents higher. July beans, 19.5 cents. The settlement price higher at $10.71 and a quarter. August at $10.68 and a quarter, up 21. And new crop November, 27 cents higher at $10.57 and a half. Bean meal up $4, the bean oil $1.35 higher, and July wheat futures were down 6.5 cents. They settled at $5.15 and a quarter. The hard red wheat at $5.08, down 9.5 cents in the July contract. Live cattle futures at $2.1682 and a half, $2.15 higher. Feeders at $3.0637 and a half, $6.07 and a half higher, and lean hogs up 72 and a half cents at $98.30. Kurt Kimmel is here from AgMarket.net to discuss these numbers and the impact this morning's USDA World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report had on them throughout the day. Thank you, Kurt, for being with us. Tell me about the trade at 11 o'clock and the numbers that you saw.
Giddy up. Here we go. We got some excitement here. Basically, the soybean complex was the shocker or the surprise in general. Fundamentally, first, it was some support from ideas that the Chinese-U.S. Trade talks over the weekend was moving along fairly well through here, backing off on these tariffs by 115%, kind of opens the door here to keep products flowing back and forth between the two countries. But the significance of that 90-day window is it takes us into the good chunk of the growing season. So we're talking first part of August. So the trade can focus on today's numbers and the weather forecast as we move forward. But the soybean estimate, particularly on jumping straight into new crop, a carryout of 295 million bushels. The trade was looking for about 375 million bushels. Demand staying robust getting through here is kind of the big thing that was on there. The old crop bean carryout was lowered by 25 million bushels due to the idea exports are going to stay strong. Then when you roll 350 million bushels into the new crop supply-demand balance sheet versus 375, it keeps it fairly tight. So when you look at the yield and the acreage and a 295 million bushel carryout, the trade kind of scratches their head here, say if we have some adverse growing conditions and lose two bushels to the acre, boy, we can be down into the ones real quick and through here. So we're putting a little bit of weather premium back into the marketplace, but the bean sector here was the bullish or positive surprise here this morning, Todd.
Yeah, that 90-day pause also comes at a time, I believe, when China tends to start buying or making their purchases for fall and early winter delivery. I would guess that that was an important part of what the trade saw and why it rallied 20 cents. In fact, I believe that it rallied nearly that much just on the news out of Switzerland over the weekend and then began to drop back waiting for the USDA report. Is that the case?
Yeah. It's like earlier this morning here, you wake up and see some positive price action, and it's like, oh no, not again. The market gave us hope. The market gave us hope and took hope away. But once the report came out, we resumed the buying interest full steam again. The key closing above 1050 in the November new crop, using that as a benchmark, it kind of opens the door to move up towards 11. July closed at 71. The ag market team, Brian Split, he's been pointing out for quite some time that if you take a soybean chart, a long-term soybean chart, and draw a line straight across, the market either side of 11 or goes quite a bit above $11. So like to get up there and see what the market wants to do towards the $11 benchmark.
The new crop corn carryout, 1.8 billion bushels. That is a big number, but in larger context, a smaller number than many had expected, and USDA has not started that small in quite some time, I think, for a new crop year.
Correct. And what contributed to that was old crop exports remain fairly strong, lowered old crop carryout by 50 million bushels. It's probably got some more room in there. Now, the significance of this whole picture, the old crop corn carryout is 1.4. A year ago, when this came on as a new crop carryout estimate, it was 2.2. So it's dropped a ton. Now, if you compare apples to apples, new crop starting off, new crop, which you hinted on, a year ago we started out close to 2.2. We're starting out 1.8, close to 400 million bushels less than a year ago. And we've got a trend line yield of 181 bushels to the acre. So once again, you start jiggling that yield around pretty quick here, you know, 2-3 bushels. This new crop corn carryout number can shrink. So we just don't have enough weather premium in new crop corn beans. And so that's going to be the function of the market here, to keep an eye on this forecast, production concerns, if there are any, and try to put a yield on this crop as we move through the marketing year.
USDA also putting exports up 2.675 billion bushels for the coming marketing year. That's a big number.
Yeah, you know, demand overall, you know, exports it was the key there. But, you know, ethanol is not going away. Ethanol demand continues real strong. But the big thing is Mexico. Mexico's been continuing to buy corn here. They started buying new crop corn already. When you look at the drought monitor, it's North America, the United States, that sticks out like a sore thumb that everybody likes to watch, but the real sore thumb's Mexico. Their demand just remains strong, and so not only the U.S. weather pattern, but that Mexican weather pattern is going to be watched fairly closely.
Hey, thanks much, Kurt. I'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media Online at WILLAG.org. This morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, as you well know, the United States Department of Agriculture released the monthly World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report. And the May report always includes the first look at new crop corn and soybeans S&D tables. Joe Jansen is here, agricultural economist from the U of I, to discuss those. Hi, Joe. Thank you for being with us. What's your broad takeaway from the WASDE this morning and the new crop numbers?
Certainly the U.S. balance sheet estimates, these new first new crop balance sheets that we see for 25-26 look fairly bullish on the face. Certainly, you know, with ending stocks numbers below where the trade was expecting and the markets kind of reacted accordingly, we've seen a pop in both the corn and bean markets this morning on the basis, I think, of, you know, pretty solid expectations for both corn and soybean usage in the coming marketing year.
Oh, so let's talk about the ending stocks for these just a bit. USDA says that the ending stocks for corn will be just 1.8 billion bushels. The trade probably closer to 2 billion this time around. They also have a 2.675 billion bushel export number. 265 is that's a big number.
Yeah, so just backing up a step. I mean, this is still a build in corn stocks because we are seeing, you know, high expected planted acreage for this coming marketing year. So we had all this corn coming. What are we going to do with it? And USDA has said, you know, that corn's going to find a home both in terms of higher feed use, higher export use than in 24-25, where, you know, exports surprised to the upside, and then solid, you know, stable ethanol use. And all those things put together got us to an ending stocks number in the report that's, you know, well below where the trade was expecting. So even though we're building corn stocks in the United States year over year, and really still a stocks number that's higher than we've seen in a few years, that's still a bullish number.
So USDA says on its season's average cash price, though, that the prediction it made at the Ag Forum, which was $4.20, when they had a 2.124 billion bushel ending stocks, remains the same today with a 1.8 billion bushel crop. Can you put those two things in context?
Maybe a part of that is sort of the global balance sheet and some, you know, strong expectations for global production. And part of it is that, you know, still a 1.8 billion bushel carryout is still significant in the context of, you know, global corn supply and demand. But I view that number as a pretty wide range around, there should be a pretty wide range of sort of, you know, confidence around that particular price forecast.
Yeah. So one last thing, the yield USDA is using is 181. I'm wondering whether you and your colleagues in the FarmDoc team have talked about that number, because it was a 181 and a half last year. 181's below, or should be below, what the trend line yield would be.
Well, I think part of that is what's happened in the last few years. And so once you keep adding, you know, slightly below trend, I mean, what we've seen in the last sort of 4 or 5 years has been, you know, slightly below trend yield. We stayed below trend for we kind of had a run of, you know, negative yield shocks. And all of those put together kind of keep bending that curve down slightly. And that's kind of accounting for some of this. And I think USDA is building that into their numbers. Everyone's sort of thinking, you know, maybe we don't, you know, the idea that we can keep projecting, you know, record corn yield year after year after year. I mean, still 181, 181 even would be a record. All of that is just sort of, I think, part of the adjustment process that goes into sort of changing the nature of a moving average over time. And that's essentially what USDA is doing.
Now, the soybean figures were one we were watching closely. They changed yesterday late and into this morning simply because the policies that were in place, the trade policies, particularly with China, and the trade framework that the Trump administration has come out of those two-day discussions with, has reduced the tariffs, USDA taking those into account. What'd you make of those numbers?
Yeah, I think USDA has a pretty level-headed view of global ag commodity trade, and they're not sort of, you know, I think not overreacting to sort of the, you know, worst-case scenario of, you know, 100% plus tariffs, which would essentially, you know, shut down trade between the United States and China for many products. But at the same time, I mean, still forecasting, you know, slightly lower soybean exports than a year ago, in the current sort of the new crop estimates that they put out today for 25-26. So I think it's sort of a, you know, we should sort of shade our guess a little bit, but they're not sort of overreacting to worst case scenario in the case of that export number.
And so the other part was the Ag Forum was at $10, USDA at $10.25 today.
Yeah, bringing that average farm price forecast up slightly. Part of that might be sort of just that ending stocks number, you know, where we get to when we have, you know, in part lower planted acreage than, you know, we would have thought maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And then sort of, you know, pretty steady estimates for use. That does kind of tighten up the balance sheet to some degree and maybe moves that price forecast slightly higher. But again, with season average price forecasts this far out, I think you want to sort of put a wide confidence interval around that number.
Yeah, the number is 295 million bushels for the ending stocks. We'll have to continue to pay attention to that. Anything else out of these numbers we should know before I let you go for the day?
I think, you know, the one other thing that's kind of lurking in the background is South American production. So because USDA is putting out a 25-26 balance sheet, they're putting out production estimates for South America for the crop that they're going to harvest in, you know, early and the middle of 2026. So that's way out in the future. And again, we should sort of like, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on reading too much into these numbers. But again, both higher production estimates for both corn and soybeans coming out of Brazil in 25-26. And all of that is going to sort of continue to weigh on the market. The idea that Brazil can keep growing production limits potential upside going forward.
Yeah, Brazil has been on their soybeans particular, according to their own numbers, the numbers that the Farm Dog team, Joanna Colucci, has been producing, had an increasing yield at a faster pace than the United States for soybeans. And of course, they continue to add acreage year in and year out. Thank you very much, Joe, for taking so much time with us today.
No problem, Todd.
Joe Jansen is an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois and a member of the Farm Doc team. Let's continue our USDA report theme as we pick up with the agricultural news today. We'll start with the White House, where it Monday announced progress over the weekend between the U.S. and China as it relates to trade, including temporary significant reductions in tariffs by those two nations. Rod Bain reports from USDA.
Nearing a trade deal in principle between the U.S. and China.
Yesterday, we achieved a total reset with China after productive talks in Geneva.
President Donald Trump discussing the agreement between the two nations Monday after weekend negotiations produced progress in crafting a future deal.
Both sides now agree to reduce the tariffs imposed after April 2nd to 10% for 90 days as negotiators continue in the larger structural issues.
In addition,
China will also suspend and remove all of its non-monetary barriers. They've agreed to do that.
Among the farm and food commodities that stand to benefit from a new U.S.-China trade agreement, soybeans. U.S. beans were among the largest quantity exports of any goods, farm and non-farm, to the Chinese marketplace last year. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Let's stay in Washington, D.C., where last week National Association of Farm Broadcasting members were meeting with those who represent farmers and others across the nation. There's no question, of course, about the level of uncertainty facing U.S. agriculture in this calendar year. During that Washington Watch event, Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, said U.S. agriculture is looking for more solid ground to stand on. And while it might not seem realistic the Congress can get a new farm bill approved, LaRue says it simply has to happen in 2025.
Our point is it has to be realistic. I think we need to reject the notion that Congress can simply just continue to kick the can down the road. We've already done two extensions on this farm bill. We already urged Congress to take action before we got into an election year. We got into an election year. We said it would be next to impossible to get a farm bill done. Well, unfortunately, we were right. And so now we're in an environment where they're talking about cuts and savings. This is a terrible environment to be doing a farm bill. But unfortunately, the conditions out there, particularly the farm economy, demands action right now.
He talks about the approach to crafting a new farm bill.
That can take a couple of different views, right? We have budget reconciliation process going on right now. But even that is struggling because some of the cuts that they're wanting to invoke in that. And I think the approach that they're taking could put the Farm Bill Coalition at risk. And I think that we all can appreciate that there are too few members of Congress from farm country to actually pass a farm bill that isn't comprehensive. You simply can't get enough votes to get that done. A farm bill is way overdue.
That was the president of the National Farmers Union, Rob LaRue, speaking last week at the NAFB Washington Watch event in D.C. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hello, Mark. Thanks for being with us. A start in the Midwest. A little rainfall here in our part of the world today. Between that and the heat, man, corn is going to pop, I think. What can you tell us about how widespread this is and what temperatures will be like and where we might not be getting rain?
Yeah, Todd. Well, for this week, or really over the next couple of days, there's going to be some scattered showers and storms across the eastern section of the belt. This slow-moving low-pressure system is the reason for this activity. But as you go further west and north away from the eastern corn belt, then you get into a drier mode. But even for areas here in the eastern corn belt, this is not widespread heavy rains, but rather just scattered activity over the course of a couple of days. And then temperatures, again, much of this week being well above normal. That'll be especially the case during the middle to end of this week. Looking out beyond this week, it does look like rain activity will be increasing a bit more across the Midwest, but at this time, we're not expecting any quick transition to any wetter than normal pattern. And then also temperatures will be cooling back down to more normal levels next week. But all in all here, the way that the pattern, well, has been recently and with the forecast over the next 2 weeks, should continue to keep planting progress generally rapid and crops that are emerging and growing in generally favorable shape.
Yeah, are there things in the weather forecast that are unusual, whether they be in the northern or southern part of the growing regions?
Well, some of these temperatures that we're seeing in like the western and northern part of the Midwest, like for example, yesterday in the Dakotas, they got up to 100 degrees on the North Dakota, Minnesota, Manitoba, Canada border, which is record setting actually by several degrees. So there's going to be another couple of days of that. That's really the most unusual situation is with this anomalous heat. Granted, it's not lasting very long as of now, but what we're seeing couple of days here, we are seeing temperatures just, you know, very unusually hot here. And that's actually being driven by this northern displaced ridge of high pressure.
How about in South America? What are you watching today?
Yeah, we're watching continued favorable weather for Safrina corn development. Overall, the pattern across the Safrina Belt will feature generally dry conditions, which is pretty typical at this time of year, a slight warmer than normal temperature bias, but nothing overly extreme. So conditions will be in good shape. And then for summer crop harvesting across southern Brazil and Argentina, Argentina here is seeing some rain activity at times, but it does not look to be enough to cause any kind of big disruptions in harvest progress. Granted, soybean harvesting is a bit slower than the five-year average, but outside of some delays the second half of this week, it doesn't look like things get totally bogged down there.
Thank you much. I appreciate it, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. We'll talk with him again next Monday right here on the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.